Hey everybody, this is Nicole with Backwoods Murder Podcast. I'm without Emma tonight. We're doing something a little different. We're gonna talk about Molly Bish's case and kind of go over details that may have got missed or miscombobulated during the last podcast. It was a little crazy. It was our first one and we kind of just went everywhere. I want to tell you a little bit about Warren, Massachusetts, and just an all-around basic information kind of podcast about the case and what they're doing now. So Molly Bish's family came from Detroit. Her family lived there for a while, and her father is from up here in New England. And there was a little girl that went missing near Molly's family's home in Detroit, and her family decided it was time to come back north, where things were a little bit more peaceful. Crime wasn't really happening. I mean, probably petty crimes, but not children going missing for the most part in Warren, Massachusetts. It's a very small town. It's woods. There's like the center of town. And if you go further out, it's mostly woods and there's not houses right on top of each other, only in sections. There's farms and like the little pond that she worked at, Cummings Pond. It was surrounded by woods and trails. And if you go a little further, there was the cemetery that you could go from Cummings Pond up to the cemetery. And that's like the backside. Molly Bish was born August 2nd, 1983. She was blonde hair, blue eyed, beautiful girl. She was great child. She got straight A's or pretty close to it. By all accounts, she was just a very loving, caring child and did everything she could to be responsible. And she had played sports and she just loved her family. And her family loved her. She was the baby of the family. So I'm the baby. So as the baby goes, you get, you know, you are the baby of the family and they treat you like one most of the time. Molly, the day before Molly went missing, which was June 26th, 2000, Molly had only been working as a lifeguard for 7 days at this point. And previous to this, her brother worked at the same pond for the last 3 summers in a row. So Molly was quite acquainted with all the operations and things that she had to do for this particular job. And she was super excited. She wanted to follow in her big brother's footsteps. And her sister, Heather, says, you know, Molly always wanted to be like her brother. Always playing sports. You know, just everything. She idolized him. And I'm pretty sure she probably idolized her older sister, too. So the normal routine, from what I understand, is you have to go to the police department, pick up your two-way radio, because there is no cell phones at this time. And you go to Cummings Pond, you set up your chair. It wasn't one of the lifeguard chairs you see at the beach. It was just a regular beach chair. And so she sets that up. She has to get her first aid kit set up. She has to, you know, she has all of her personal things, her lunch, her towels, her waters for the day. And that's all there. So this is her morning routine. And so June 26 was started off like any other day, except for when they pulled into the driveway to Cummings Pond, there was a strange white car there. It is 10 o'clock or nearly 10 o'clock in the morning, and there shouldn't be, the guy should be working, and there's a strange man in there, and he doesn't give two craps about them being there, and he's watching them very intently. Molly's mother felt very awkward about leaving her daughter, and she just got the heebie-jeebies and was like, you know what, I'm not leaving Molly here by herself. I'm gonna stay until he leaves. So she went down and helped Molly set up and talk to her and did all that stuff. And so some time goes by and she's figuring the guy's gone. She comes back up and he's still there, and now he's giving her a dirty look, staring her down. And she does what every mama bear will do. She stared him back down, and she got in her car and messed around with her purse and tried to make it look like she was just doing something in there. He eventually takes off. Molly's mom is like, breathes a sigh of relief. She's like, thank God this weirdo's gone and I can finally go off and do my errands and whatever else I need to do for the day. And she left it at that. Like, he's not coming back. You know, the parents, other parents have shown up. So there's going to be people around. He's not coming back. The day ended like any other day. While she was working, she got home, did her thing, whatever. June 27th was pretty rough for Molly. Her mother woke her up with the news that one of her good friends had gotten in a car accident riding her bicycle to work and was in intensive care. Molly is very responsible. This was her first real job, and she took it seriously. She was like, nope, I have to go to work. I have children relying on me. I need to be the lifeguard there. When I get out of work, I will go see her, whatever. So Molly, they head off, they go to the police department, stop at her sister's house. Her sister had been sick with the stomach bug for a couple of days, and she was finally starting to feel better. So she asked her mom, hey, could you bring me a coffee on your way back from dropping Molly off? And Molly was playing with her new 10-month-old niece. She was ecstatic to be an aunt. Their relationship had changed from big sister to more of an adult relationship where she's an aunt now. She took that serious too. So they went to the store, got Molly's water and her snacks for the day, and Maggie dropped her off, and the white car wasn't there. So she hadn't even thought of this after the whole day yesterday. There was a dump truck driver there, and he was dumping sand because they were redoing the beach or redoing the driveway. I'm not really sure. And come to find out after the fact that we now know that that white car was in that driveway right before Molly and her mother pulled in. So this guy is very fishy, if you ask me. And that comes out way later after Molly went missing, and I think it was a couple days, maybe later on that day. I'm not sure. The timeline gets a little screwy. So Molly goes missing. The weirdest part was, like I told you, Molly would get herself set up and everything. The first parent arrived around 10:08-ish, something like that. There was probably like between 8 and 15 minutes between Molly being dropped off and her being abducted and the first parents arriving for the swimming lesson. At this point, the mother of the child shows up and she's like, where? They thought, well, maybe she had to go to the bathroom, or maybe she was checking something in the woods, or whatever teenage kids do when they get their job and they work at a beach. I don't really know. But some time had gone by and it was starting to get a little fishy, but nobody says anything. And this bothers me a lot because where is Molly? Her stuff is set up right there. Why is she not back? Her sandals are right there. Her food, her water, her two-way radio, her whistle. And the fishiest thing is her first aid kit is wide open, as if somebody hurt themselves and she got a Band-Aid or whatever she needed out of there. Because you don't leave your first aid box open where sand and debris can get in there and, you know, wreak havoc and it's a mess to clean up. And that is wide open. The woman that was there with her child actually closed the first aid kit. Eventually, they call the police department, like, listen, there's supposed to be a lifeguard here, and there's no lifeguard, and what's going on? Like, this is ridiculous. We pay for a lifeguard. There should be a lifeguard here. They don't think anything of it. They're like, oh, teenagers will be teenagers. I think at this point, Ed was informed, and he is the guy that runs the program and whatnot. And so Ed shows up and he two ways back and is like, yep, she's not here. She hasn't been here since she got dropped off this morning. okay, great, that's perfect. So nobody thinks to make this a big deal? I don't know. In hindsight, it's 50-50, 2020, I don't know what the saying is. So Ed was seen earlier at the hardware store by Molly's brother, which had worked for him 3 previous summers. So he knew him, and he knew he was Molly's brother. He was seen buying duct tape and rope. This is what I've read and heard. I don't know for a fact that's what he bought, but if it is, that's pretty fishy, and nothing good comes out of duct tape and rope at all. It means something is seriously broken. He never tells his brother that Molly didn't show up to work or Molly is missing. So 1 o'clock rolls around, and the police inform Molly's mother, Maggie, that, hey, your daughter didn't show up to work. Where is she? She's like, yeah, I dropped her off at 10 o'clock. She's nowhere to be found. So Molly's mother rushes down to Cummings Pond, and she sees the scene, and she is horrified because her daughter not only would never desert the children at the pond to go mess around at, like most teenagers, but her flip-flops and everything is still there. So where is Molly? She's not going to go anyplace without her shoes. If she went to her friend to visit in the hospital, you can't go in a hospital without shoes on. You can't go in stores without shoes on. And the rocky terrain, it's pretty woodsy, and there's pine cones and there's rocks. You're not going to just walk around barefoot unless you have to. Her mother instantly was like, nope, there is something seriously wrong here. And she went and informed her daughter, Heather, and her, or called Heather. And they, Heather sees her mother on her way to Cummings Pond and realizes her mother's heading to the police department. So Heather turns around and they follow him. And they're like, hey, she's a teenage girl. I don't know what to tell you. She probably just went out with friends. So at this point, everybody is going to door to door to friends' houses, to family members, and be like, hey, have you seen Molly? Nobody has seen her. Nobody's talked to her. Nobody's heard from her. Nothing. So Heather decides to go to her new boyfriend, Steve's house. Steve and Molly had only been hanging out or dating for 3 months. She had just got out of a very serious 2-year relationship with somebody she loved dearly and broke her heart, or broke each other's heart. I'm not sure. She woke Steve up and he was miscombobulated. He didn't hear from Molly, doesn't know what she's talking about. So he gets up and goes with Heather to go to Cummings Pond to help search for her. They reach Cummings Pond and it's a scene from a movie. There's now police department. The police, the fire department had shown up because they were very concerned. Maybe she had drowned. Mind you, she was the top swimmer in her lifeguarding class. So that's very highly doubtful, but you never know. Weirder things have happened. So they had diving teams going, boats. They brought lights in, and her brother now knows and is there diving into this pond that he had worked for the past 3 summers looking for his sister, knowing that if he found his sister, it would be her body at this point. She would be dead, drowned in the pond. It actually took the state police to come and grab him and get him out of the pond. And now the state police are there. Now they have the canine units. They're searching the hillside. They're searching surrounding areas. And then it becomes dark. Molly's mother had to leave knowing their daughter was missing, and hoping and praying that maybe she was like a normal teenager and took off and would be at home. That didn't happen. Molly's mother had to go home without her baby that night, and it was a long, dreadful night, knowing that she doesn't know where her daughter is. Is she okay? Is she hurting? Is she crying for her? Her sister now has remembered that she never got to give her sister a hug and kiss goodbye, and she's up all night going outside hoping that whoever took her would just drop her off at some at their house. Just drop her off. That never came. Morning came. At this point, we're June 28th, so morning's there. They now have 200 searchers searching for Molly Bish anywhere, everywhere. And they find not a trace, not a sign of a struggle, not a shoe besides her flip-flops that were undisturbed at the lifeguard station. They find nothing. June 9th, the state police began questioning 6 to 7 possible suspects. To no avail, nothing came from that. July 6th, the district attorney distributed a sketch of the man in the white car that her mother had talked to a sketch artist about. July 8th, a $20,000 reward was offered for any information to bring Molly home. Nothing. Nothing has happened. There's no information. August 16th comes. 13 people fail the polygraph test. Were given the polygraph test, and 11 or whatever failed. And these are child predators. They're everybody that could possibly have anything to do with Molly. Weeks, months, it's crazy how long this went on. Where are we? August. Her mother never gave up hope. September came around. More than 1,000 motorcycles raised. $18,000 for Molly Bish Molly Bish Fund, with a 60-mile ride for Molly, $10,000 added to the reward. So this is getting, like, there's a $30,000 reward now, and nobody's giving anything up. And then December 4th, the legislator, whatever, approved $250,000 in supplemental budget funds to pay for the continuing investigation of Bish's case. That's all this should have been done the day she went missing in the first 3 hours, but nobody knew. March 19th, a new sketch came out of the man in the car. Let's see. And this is the best part. Bones were found in March 28th, but they ended up being animal bones, not human. Let me see. I have more stuff. It wasn't until 3 years later that they found a blue bathing suit similar to the one that Molly was wearing in West Warren Rock. New search was triggered. A headband similar as to ones Molly was wearing were found May 30th. June 3rd. This is the day, everybody. June 3rd. An arm bone said to be from someone 14 to 20 years old was found in Whiskey Hill. Same as where the bathing suit headband was found. They did DNA testing, and on June 9th, Molly's tooth found also matched the from Molly's dental records. July 2nd was Molly Bish's would have been Molly Bish's 20th birthday, and that was the day they buried their daughter, the bones that they had from their daughter. This is a crazy story because there's nothing to go on. They've tested DNA. They've talked to suspects. They searched cars. They did all of everything they could do. They exhausted every avenue. Molly Bish's family have had several private investigators to no avail. They have a few people that I still find sketchy, the man in the white car. Could he be Rodney, the guy in Florida that murdered his girlfriend? I don't know. Could he be the guy Dave? Could he be Rodney's brother, the one that was camping in the woods right around where Molly's body was found? Could he be the guy that was at the camp? Yes, there was a guy at a camp that wasn't around that day that Molly went, became missing, and he came back the next day bloodied and said something bad had happened in the woods. We don't know. Nobody knows anything. Or if they do, they're not telling. The police are holding this close to the chest. They're not giving out information. At this point, it's been 20 years. Give some information so maybe we have something to go on. If any of you guys have any information and you would like to notify the Massachusetts State Police hotline, please do. Let me see if I have the number. Let me Google it. I don't have the number. I'll have to get it next time, or I'll put it in the title for this. Molly's family still have no answers. Let's help them, guys. Let's get everybody thinking and remembering things that maybe was very small details in your daily life that maybe could help solve this murder. Molly's killer is still out there. And who knows if he's done it several other times, and she's may not be the only one. Like I said, this is Nicole from Backwoods Murder Podcast, and I would like to thank you guys and have you guys share and follow us on Spotify if you could. That way we can get more people interested. And if there's anything you want me to know, just slip me an email or a comment and I will reply to it. And if there's something you think I should try or do differently, let me know. I'm not a professional, and this is just my thoughts and feelings about the case, and I just wanted to breathe some new light onto it, and maybe somebody has some answers that we could talk to. Hopefully I'll be able to talk to Molly Bish's sister. She did okay. I just haven't had the nerve to talk to her. I don't want to say the wrong thing or hurt her in any other way that she and I don't want to ask her the same questions she's been asked up a thousand times before. So I'm really thinking and trying to come up with questions that are different, maybe, and try not to hurt her any more than she's already hurting. And they're, like she said, they're never going to get over this. This is something that has affected her whole family's life and the whole town of Warren, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.